Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Tonight. Hope you had a fabulous weekend. It kind of felt like the beginning of the NFL, and I say that because the Hall of Fame was this past weekend, and the Hall of Fame game, of course, Minnesota and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And for people who are fans of the NFL, and you know we do our silly little game, Nail the Score, even for those who aren't fans, become fans for that one segment a week. I know, because you're trying to clear out the prize closet. It does make you feel like, hey, you know what, we're getting closer. We're getting closer to the regular season, and we, in fact, are getting closer to the regular season. Worth mentioning at the top is Sidney Seau, Junior Seau's daughter, who I thought gave just a tremendous speech in honor of her father, because, of course, he committed suicide, sadly, a couple of years ago. And NFL-wise, for 20 years, he played in the NFL and was such a hard-hitting linebacker. They did an autopsy, rather, and found that the concussions had, in fact, affected his brain. So her family, the Seau family, is currently suing the NFL. But in a sense, it worked out because she did get a chance to speak. Besides the video portion of it, she did get a chance to have her 6 minutes or so to talk about her dad. I would have rather seen her have the whole stage, but I thought it was a good compromise in the sense that initially, because this was policy, she wouldn't have been on there at all. It would have just been the videotaped tribute, because it's something that the NFL decided to do, or the Hall of Fame decided to do in 2011. Since you had so many people coming in, if it was somebody who was receiving it after they had passed on, there would be, you know, fabulous tributes, video tributes and that stuff, but there wouldn't be anyone on the stage. So that's the reason that happened that way. And there was so much controversy over it that it ended up, I think, working out okay for the Hall of Fame, for the fact that they kicked the door open somewhat. Now, if you go to the New York Times, different story, and they make a great point. They have a huge front page article about the speech she would have given if she had been allotted more time, and that, in fact, she wouldn't have said anything that would have led to any kind of embarrassment for the NFL, especially while they're all in the middle of this whole thing and, you know, whatnot. And the big story was, and this is why we're starting with football too, the great Frank Gifford dies at the age of 84. And again, this goes to somebody probably transcending the sport. In the sport, he was a tremendous football player for the Giants and spent his whole career with the Giants and ended up in the Hall of Fame, of course. But he was part of that whole Monday night extravaganza, where people who weren't so much even football fans became football fans because Monday night became an event, and they did out-of-the-box kinds of things for the time, and certainly in the 70s and the 80s. Howard Cosell was part of that broadcast, the initial trio. You had Dandy Don Meredith and Frank Gifford and Howard Cosell, and then Dan Dierdorf became part of that squad after that. So He certainly was a household name, I would say. Somebody that, you know, a football legend anyway. A football legend that people absolutely knew, without a doubt. So first exhibition game, Hall of Fame game, a signal that the season is getting much, much closer than you can believe. Then we move to politics, because Sunday is about the Sunday swirl. It's what I like to call, anyway, the talking heads. You get up in the morning, you grab your cup of joe. Maybe you're off to church or temple or wherever. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're pre-taping the shows, whatever. But people pay attention for what's happening politically, I think, because that's what it's about. It is about the pundits and the guests and whatnot. And Donald Trump, I mean, he was the big story heading in Thursday into the Republican debates. And Donald Trump says he has no apology on his blood remark, even though there's been backlash to that. He defended himself on Sunday from really the blowback he got for criticizing the Fox debate moderator, Megyn Kelly, insisting that he said nothing wrong and that he values women. He said, "I cherish women." He was on CNN's Sunday show. Jake Tapper does the show State of the Union, saying he didn't mean to imply that Kelly asked him sharp questions during the debate because she was menstruating. That became some weird thing. And Trump said, who would say that? Do you think I make a statement like that? Why would I make a statement like that? Only a sick person, you know how Trump is. He says only a sick person would even think about that. So he had this just kind of wild exchange with Tapper. And all of a sudden, Donald Trump, who was a front runner, has now become this sort of face that people are attacking, that they're going after. And it was because, really, Trump said, you could see there was blood coming out of her eyes, said this during an interview with Don Lemon from CNN on Friday night, and said blood coming out of her, you know, what, wherever. And I think that's what kicked that off. So the last, really, 48-plus hours, he is just being piled on in all directions. And it makes me ask the question here, and we'll talk about it this hour of America tonight. Do you now think that Trump should be off the list? Would you just cross him off the list or not? You know, and it's funny because Carly Fiorina, who moved up from what I was calling the kids' table, the early debate in so many people's eyes, to somebody who should be more in the middle of the pack, Trump went after her, too. He said, I just realized that if you listen to Carly Fiorina for more than 10 minutes straight, you develop a massive headache. She has zero chance. That's what he tweeted out. So suddenly things have changed a bit for Trump. Hey, it's all about who's voting, though, and what happens in the primary. So just because he's taken some lumps now, that doesn't mean it'll stay that way. There's also some sad news over the weekend where we had, and not too far again from our satellite facility, an unarmed Texas college football player was fatally shot by the cops because he didn't comply with their calls to surrender. 19-year-old Christian Taylor was his name. He was shot a bunch of times during something that happened early in the morning at a car dealership by a rookie cop who was nearing the end of a 16 weeks of field training. What happened was there was a security company that called 911 on Friday after Taylor allegedly drove his Jeep through the front window of the dealership showroom. The company monitored Taylor on surveillance cameras and reported a possible burglary in process. And at one point, I guess, Taylor allegedly kicked out the windshield of one of the cars on the lot. When they got there, he was inside. They yelled at him from the other side of the glass to get on the ground, but he ran away and tried to open a locked glass door. You know, then the rest is history after that. So they're investigating this a little bit further. Strange doings. Horrible. Stay with us. The weekly re-rack, that's coming up next here on ATN.
There are hundreds of silver products on the market today, but there's nothing like the astonishing health benefits of the multi-patented One Silver Solution. Boost your immune system at a great price with our Silver Solution Liquid, starting at $12.95 a bottle. Now available in regular and extra strength. That's half the price of the leading competitors. Call 844-USILVER for your free catalog, or go to onesilversolution.com. OneSilverSolution.com. There is only one Silver Solution.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Hey, neighbor, what are you doing digging? You had a heart attack last year.
Oh, I know. I was told no more hard labor.
Then why are you digging?
Well, I've been taking ExtendoVite. It's been approved to help my heart.
ExtendoVite? Is that a new drug?
No, not a drug. It's more like an herbal combination made from garlic and cayenne.
Herbal? How can that help?
Well, actually, we've taken herbs for thousands of years. ExtendoVite is doing the job for me.
Does your doctor know about ExtendoVite?
Yeah, my doctor knows, and he said it seems to be working for you, so don't stop taking it. I feel great taking ExtendoVite. I don't want to stop.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. And I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, which includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Call 1-800-714-6993. 1-800-714-6993. 1-800-714-6993 today.
Healthy, organic, fresh fish, robust, mouth-watering vegetables, all from your home. It's called aquaponics. This brilliant, self-sustaining protein and veggie system is perfect for year-round growing. Know exactly where your food is coming from. AquaponicsSource.com is the one-stop shop for all your needs. Fish, fish food, plumbing, full systems, classes, and more. Learn to build your own system. Go to AquaponicsSource.com for a free guide to aquaponics. That's AquaponicsSource.com.
Right now, I don't think we gave him too much Red Bull. I'm not sure about that. He's the complete opposite of many of us on the third shift who kick it into high gear a little bit later in the evening. Eric Peters is our guest, and he is a libertarian. He is self-professed libertarian gearhead. He writes about cars, energy, and freedom. Here's what I like. If you go to Eric Peters autos.com, because I'm an auto freak anyway, but if you go there, man, you will learn things that will make your eyes roll around in the back of your head, including some of the stuff that we've been talking about. What is the deal with biodiesel, which is being shoved down our throat, and who is really profiting from it? He calls it the Kool-Aid of the farm lobby, and I agree. Eric, thanks for hanging with us.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me on the show.
So, of course, now there's a lot of conversation about this, especially with the Iowa caucuses and all that stuff, and we're right into the thick of it. It seems like every day Hillary Clinton is in Iowa. So to be these politicians in modern times, you just is that what they do? They just, all right, look, we got to go along with biodiesel, or we got to go along with ethanol. We keep hearing about the ethanol factor, but there's not even enough plants to manufacture what we would need, right?
Well, the interesting thing is that the lobby contributes equally to both political parties, and so in that way they've got both their bases covered. It really doesn't matter from their point of view which one gets elected, because ultimately it seems to be it's their guy or perhaps their woman, depending on how things turn out.
Yeah, so when you look at renewables, what specifically bothers you the most?
Well, let's see. Let's start with, we're told often about how advantageous it is to use these renewables, but if they're so advantageous, then why does the government have to force them down our throats? I've drawn the parallel with, I like to go to Chipotle. Your listeners may like Chipotle and get a burrito or a bowl there. And Chipotle doesn't send a lobbyist to Washington to have the government carve out a subsidy for Chipotle burritos because people like them and they're willing to buy them without any coercion involved. And I wonder why that same standard doesn't apply to these biofuels. If they're such a good idea, it shouldn't be necessary for the government to be involved.
Yeah, and I would say the other thing is, if it's such a good idea, then let's let the politicians drive around only on biofuels and really push that to all their constituents, which, of course, you know that's not happening, unless it's advantageous to them and they're in the breadbasket area or they're in areas where that's being pushed because of the corn lobbies there, then that's a whole different story. So it is about the power of the purse, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's a very valid point. Similarly, with regard to Obamacare and various other things that they pass, they exempt themselves from it, and that's rather telling. You know, if it's not good for the goose, it shouldn't be good for the gander. The other point that I would make is that it does cause food prices to rise, simply because a lot of the potential food that could be produced for animal or human consumption, specifically with regard to ethanol, the corn, with regard to biodiesel, soybeans, is diverted to the production of these biofuels. And as a result of that, the cost of food goes up. So we're paying more for food and we're paying more for fuel.
Yeah, beef specifically would cost more. As I know, I'm in beef land in Dallas, and then it costs more, as I was talking to a farmer the other day, it costs more to ship that too, right?
Sure, because ethanol and biodiesel, it's less energy dense, so you have to burn more of it to go the same distance. So the truckers have to spend more on fuel to get from A to B, and the stuff that they're hauling costs us more because it's cost more to produce it.
Yeah, and then here's the other part of this, Eric. What about older cars? What does that do to older cars when you're talking about using these alternatives?
Well, ethanol has been a disaster for older vehicles, which were not designed to accommodate high alcohol content fuels. Most of the ethanol that's sold right now is E10, meaning that the gas you buy is 10% ethanol. They're pushing for E15, which would be 15% ethanol, and they're also looking down the road at E85. Which is 85% ethanol. Alcohol is a corrosive fuel, and if the vehicle's fuel system is not designed specifically to accommodate it, you get all kinds of problems. One of the big ones is that it attracts moisture, and moisture is a big enemy of your fuel system. It causes fuel lines to rot out, and it's in particular playing havoc with people who have marine engines and so on, and power sports, lawn equipment and what have you. It's been really, really tough on those things.
Yeah, so when we look at that all combined, and then you look at the auto industry, and if you're producing new cars, I guess it depends on what it is you're producing and where you're at, but that could be a disaster too as well for many in the auto industry, especially when they're in that, what I call the second-hand market, when we're talking about like used cars, right?
Yeah, it's accelerating the obsolescence of the older cars because it's increasing the wear and tear on them and getting them out of the market. And the other side of the coin is that, to get back to the point about being less energy dense, your fuel efficiency goes down when you're using these fuels. And that's rather ironic because we're constantly told about how imperative it is that we get higher efficiency and more miles per gallon, and yet the government is force-feeding fuels that are less fuel efficient on the public.
Yeah. All right. I'd be remiss, Eric, if I didn't ask you this. We're speaking to Eric Peters. You can check him out at ericpetersautos.com. You know, you write about cars, and I saw a picture of you on a motorcycle. What's your favorite chariot to ride in? What do you like the best?
Cars or bikes?
Bikes.
Okay, I've got an old Kawasaki two-stroke triple, and for people who are familiar with those, in particular the H2 750 that was made in the early mid '70s, and they they were known as the Widowmaker back in the day because of their power curve, and there's nothing that quite makes the sound of a Kawasaki two-stroke triple on its power curve. There are bikes today that are much faster and much quicker, but they're much more controlled. As Hunter Thompson would say, it takes a real man to ride an old Kawasaki two-stroke triple.
I love that. How do you feel about, I know you wrote about this, you know, if you go to your website, you can read all this stuff, but you wrote about the Toyota Camry hybrid. A lot of people are talking about hybrids and what does that mean and should I get a hybrid and how much does it cost to me? And what did you find with the Camry?
Well, I find, now, I think the technology is impressive and interesting, but despite all the hobbles that have been put on them by the government, you can get diesels that will do as well or better for significantly less money. With all due respect to Toyota, and I like the Camry, it's a good car, you can pick up something like a Volkswagen Jetta TDI diesel for about $5,500 less than the base price of the Camry hybrid. And in real-world driving, and I drive these cars for a living, and so I can tell you from personal experience, you will match the mileage of a hybrid, in particular if you drive a lot on the highway, which most people tend to do, for less money with less hassle. So I'm very impressed with some of the diesel cars that are on the market right now.
Yeah. When you go out, because obviously, you know, you ride a lot, and if you're on your bike, do you have a favorite route that you take?
Yeah, I live out here in the sticks of rural southwest Virginia, and there's a road just down the road from me called Bent Mountain, and it's a series of S-turns that goes about 2-3 miles from about 1,500 feet at the valley floor all the way up to about 3,000 feet in that relatively short distance, and it's the finest test track you'll find on the East Coast, in my opinion.
Wow. So, you know, I said this in the beginning, too, mixing in the politics of the libertarian bent. When you look at the fact that on Thursday we got 10 people on a stage of the Republican debate, is there anyone in that crowd that you like?
Unfortunately not. Unfortunately not. You know, it's really kind of daunting and sad to look at that field and not find anybody that's really simpatico. And the reason, as a libertarian, that's the case is I'm not looking to tell anybody what to do. I would just like to leave everybody alone and ask the same in return.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, none of those guys are willing to do that.
Yeah, it looked like Rand Paul, you know, initially, when Rand Paul jumped into the Senate, it looked like he was going in that direction, but now that's switched, I think.
I think so, too, unfortunately. Of course, you know, on the other side of the fence, it's none too appealing either.
Yeah, so then what do you do? I mean, it comes down to this. I say this all the time because I'm always pushing for the third party. But, you know, when it comes to voting, do you just say, well, I got to sit this out because who am I voting for?
Well, there's lots of arguments to be made on that, but one of them that I think is pretty persuasive is by just withdrawing your consent. They desperately need the illusion, if not the actuality, of consent. That is the idea that most people have supported one or the other candidates, but when you break it down, particularly at the presidential level, what is it, something like about half the eligible voter pool votes, so that's about 50%, and then the winner typically wins by about 25%. So you've got a relatively small minority of the actual eligible voters who actually wind up selecting the president. So despite all the talk about democracy, majority rule, in fact, the minority rules.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? And if you, like you said, if you do the math, it's simple math, then you realize what's really happening. Yeah,
exactly.
Really, really, really sad. Fun to talk to you, though, Eric Peters. Thanks for hanging late with us. And again, check him out at ericpetersautos.com. Thanks.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
You betcha. Bye-bye.
And nothing to see. Sometimes I feel like something is gone here. Something is wrong here.
My name is Dell, and I live in El Cajon, California. I was concerned about my cholesterol readings because I knew that high cholesterol is related to clogging of the arteries and increases the risk for heart attack and stroke. One day, I heard an ad for Heart and Body Extract, and I was skeptical, but I decided to give it a try. Man, the numbers don't lie.
Learn the secrets of an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation at hbextract.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
If you're worried about your health, and you're tired of the nasty side effects of harsh drugs or antibiotics, then look no further. Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a powerful immune system enhancer that can be used every day to help keep you healthy and well with none of those nasty side effects. It's extremely safe for use internally as well as topically. And Supernatural Silver is hundreds of times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver. It is perfect for use in the sinuses, eyes, ears, and on any wound or skin issue. Supernatural Silver is also extremely effective when taken orally and can help fight off bacteria, viruses, and mold that may be overwhelming your immune system. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com and use the promo code Silver2015 for 30% off of your entire order and give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. And I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, which includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Call 1-800-714-6993. 1-800-714-6993. 1-800-714-6993 today.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market. The gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lungs. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
The kickoff of this week for America Tonight, still debating the debate. That was a big chunk of what I think people were doing over the weekend, trying to take it all in and then waiting to see what the polls say. And we'll talk about the polls a little bit later. I mentioned Frank Gifford at the top of the show, and I had a chance to catch up with the president of the NFL Hall of Fame. Can you imagine on his biggest weekend, without a doubt, because you had all the enshrinement activity, and then you had the news of Frank Gifford, who is a Hall of Famer. And we welcome that conversation with Dave Baker, again, president of the NFL Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. Dave, thanks for joining us. David Baker, president and executive director of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. David, thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, it's an honor to be with you. We are just a couple hours away from kicking off the NFL's 96th season. We've had a tremendous enshrinement, as you talked about there, but we just posted our flag to half-mast because of the passing of Frank Gifford.
Did you ever, David, have a chance to spend any time at all with Frank Gifford in your dealings in football?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean he is one of the greats. I mean, you know, of the 100 million guys that have played this game, there have only been about 27,000 that have been ever paid to play it, coach it, officiate it, or even administer it in the NFL. And, you know, as of right now, as a result of last night, we only have 295 that have their bronze bust there. And up until moments ago, we had 167 gold jackets. Now we've got, with the passing of Frank, 166. But he was a great gentleman of the game. He, you know, while he was known as a great New Yorker because of his many years there as a Giant, he really came from USC. And, you know, we had a great connection there because of our family and being Trojans together. But Frank is just a great ambassador for the game, both as a player and as a broadcaster.
Yeah, David, I said this on the air because I had the fortune of talking to Chuck Bednarik and to Frank Gifford in my career, and both of them talked about that big hit. Do you remember that, having known him from those days in California then with the Giants?
Yeah, I don't think he was too fond of that. The irony is that I actually did, Chuck's, funeral probably about 4 or 5 months ago. So we've lost both of those guys within a short period of time of each other. But Frank was a tenacious player. He played, back in the day when there was a number of places on both sides of the ball, and Chuck did as well. But I had a moment, two Super Bowls ago when it was in New York, and we were up at the Time Warner Center having a dinner, which we call our Merlin Olsen dinner in honor of, obviously, the great Merlin Olsen, and our honoree was Frank Gifford. And he was so excited, to see the Super Bowl in New York. And one of the things he kind of shared with me, he said, when I was in college and I left USC to come to New York, nobody knew where I was going. And when I came back after the season, nobody in California really knew where I'd been. He says, it's so great to see what this has become in New York and to see how big the game has become. And he was a guy who made it as a player. The 56, championship, really, really for New York to be the team to win it, really put it on the map. And then, of course, they had the great, 58 game against the Colts that some people say was the greatest game ever. But, he was a guy who I think in every dealing I had with him, he had enormous respect for the game and for the values of the game. And, he would talk a lot about the history of the game. And to get together with him, as we've had the opportunity to do with Frank Gifford on one side and a John Madden on another, it's just a spectacular moment. These guys respect the game. They love the game. They love the guys who played it. We are sorry that he will not make it into the 1968 season for the NFL. He is a great man, and our heart goes out, to Kathy Lee and Cody.
Yeah, great stories. Thanks for sharing that with us. Last one, I'd be remiss not to ask you this. There were great speeches at the Hall of Fame. I watched the whole thing and covered some of the players. And there was a compromise made with Junior Seau's family, and Sidney Seau got a few moments on the stage. Did you get great reaction to that, by the fact that she was allowed to have more than the video segment, which, by the way, is in the rules that you have at the Hall? Did you get good reaction to that?
Well, I haven't had a time today to check the press reaction, but I will tell you, I got a great reaction from her and her brothers. I thought it was a real special moment. She's a super young lady. She did a tremendous job in her video. I think she did a great job with a, 5-minute interview that happened afterwards. And I was there when they came off, and her and her three brothers hugged each other, and I got to hug her. And I think it was a great moment, and that's what we're really about. There was a lot of controversy surrounding to this that, it didn't really need to be there on other issues. But I'll tell you, she is a great young lady, and what happened in this is that Junior Seau was honored. And I think it brought their family closer together. His parents, the three brothers, Sidney. And that's what this is all about. Football and the Pro Football Hall of Fame brings people together, especially like emotional moments like that. And while that was a great emotional moment, there were seven other guys that were being honored who had just as deep emotions. A guy like Bill Polian, who was in tears, this morning when I talked to him today about doing it. So it's really special to be here. I hope every one of your listeners gets the opportunity to do it.
Absolutely. David, I've been there 10 times, and I said it would be the number one Hall of Fame on my list, and I tell everyone to go there. It was such a treat to have you on the show because I know it is your busiest weekend. David Baker, President and Executive Director of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, guys. I know you'll be watching NBC tonight as we kick off the 96th season with the Vikings and the Steelers.
Absolutely. All right, so again, it was great to catch up with him, as I mentioned there, because it was just a crazy weekend. There's no question about that. I mentioned we moved from football in the Hall of Fame to votes of a different kind. And what happened since the debate, what's happened in the polls, and one of the first polls out is the NBC poll, and the NBC poll has Trump with a 10-point post-debate lead, believe it or not. It was, you know, taken on the heels of the debate. So Friday into Saturday morning over the weekend, while there was a lot of controversy over his exchange, as I mentioned before, with Megyn Kelly, his remarks about her, and it didn't seem to matter in this poll anyway, because Trump absolutely showed up in the poll that was conducted. Trump was the choice of 23% of the Republican primary voters who were asked if they would vote for, you know, who they would vote in the primary if it were being held right now, and he gets the top spot at 23%. Ted Cruz was second with 13%, Ben Carson 11%, Carly Fiorina 8%, Marco Rubio 8%, Jeb Bush 7%, and then you go down from there. So how about that? At the very bottom of the poll, John Kasich, the governor of Ohio, he's got two percent vote. Lindsey Graham 1%, Bobby Jindal 1%, Chris Christie 1%, George Pataki and Rick Santorum Zippo. And this is just one poll, and there's going to be many more, of course, that will happen in the next 4 or 5 months. And then once we get into, you know, into 2016, then it'll really, really ramp up, and then we hit on the primaries and everything else. Hard to believe, but we are absolutely less than a year away from the Republican and the Democratic debates. It seems like it's so far off, but it really is not that far off. By the way, I wanted to throw this in because I had a couple of people ask me this. The Vikings beat the Steelers in the Hall of Fame game 14-3. Was that final score 14-3? Remember, you can weigh in on the Trump issue. Do you agree with what the people in the polls are saying? Do you think Trump, if you had to vote today, is he the guy you would vote for? It's funny because I think in looking at if you're just looking at the debate, I don't know, he didn't seem like he won the debate to me. And I know we certainly talked about this heading into the weekend. I feel like if anything, it seemed like he took a step back, but I guess he's still selling. What Trump is selling, people are buying. You know, people are like the fact that he's not a politically correct person, and he's, I guess is the way to say that, and he's not a politician, perhaps that's it. He's not polished. He's not a polished politician, the way he speaks and what he says and how he just comes out with, you know, whatever. That's absolutely struck a chord with plenty of peeps in the United States. I'm wondering if it still resonates with you. And does that resonate with you at all or not? I think if anything, I've nailed it. There's no question that's the reason why. I think the reason why is absolutely that's the reason why. Is because people feel like he is more relatable, which is in one way odd because he's a billionaire. So how relatable is the billionaire who does not have these financial problems, is not caught in the middle and being squeezed out? How does that relate to you and me? All right, stay with us. The other half of our weekly re-rack coming up around the bend.
Hi, my name is DeRay. Suffering from migraines, having Botox injections in my head and neck to alleviate pain, costing $1,500 out of my pocket. I discovered Dr. Ortman and Gentle Touch Chiropractic Adjustment called NUCA. I'm migraine-free since my first adjustment. Thanks for giving me my life back, Dr. Ortman. I wish they prescribed you instead of Botox.
Thanks, DeRay. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the solution. We design a nutritional supplement program the body can handle and actually absorb, providing nutrients targeting the problem area. Between NUCA and nutrition, we will have you on the road to a faster and more permanent recovery. Look us up on the web at drwortman.com or call 952-303-9124. Let us help you feel better faster. Wellspring Spinal Care at 952-303-9124. Again, that's 952-303-9124. Or on the web at drortman.com.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, you know they'll never stop coming after you. With bank levies, wage garnishments, they'll even seize your home or business. The good news? A government program for tax debt forgiveness. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative.
I'm Paul Sibley with U.S. Tax Shield. We can help navigate the new laws, get you protected, and resolve your tax issues permanently.
Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield now for your free consultation and get a guaranteed quote to resolve your case. Call 800-436-6451. That's 800-436-6451.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it, so decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
Everyone says or does something silly once in a while, but once that embarrassing thing is on the internet, it can spread like a terrible rash. Put it to rest. Get a free expert analysis today from Reputation.com. It only takes 30 seconds. 800-831-0771. We protect your online image by helping to make sure that when people search for you or your business, they find the most current, accurate information possible. Reputation.com. Because word travels fast. Call for a free analysis today. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Before, and the importance of getting your eyes tested. As someone who thought that I had Wonder Woman vision and I could, you know, spot a parking space miles away, when I finally hit that wall where I had eye trouble, it was like kicking and screaming. I went to the eye doctor. Now I would never miss my yearly appointment, and some of you can relate to that. So I don't know what that is about us, that we have this bravado if we've had great eyesight about, ooh, I don't need glasses, not yet. But one thing we're seeing for sure, especially because we live in this computer technology age, we're seeing a lot of younger people, I know this in my nieces, in having a problem with nearsightedness, and it started young, where, you know, they were on that road wearing glasses, and they would never, again, this is that whole thing about getting your eyes tested, they would never miss those eye appointments because of how important it is and what it does to kids when they're in school and they're trying to focus and they can't focus. So he's been on with us before. It's been a while, but Dr. Albert Pang, optometrist, joins us. He's in our virtual green room. I don't think he's taken eye tests, but Dr. Pang. I love the eye test, by the way. Can you see it? You know, because you know this, Dr. Pang. When we're sitting in your chair, we think it's a test and we want to get it right. We're trying to say we can see all those letters. You know that, right?
Yes, of course, everyone have that idea. But when they sit down on a chair, when they look at the bottom line, it's kind of it's a surprise to them that they cannot see the smallest letter.
Exactly. They want a cheat sheet from you, Doc. Give us a cheat sheet so we know what we're saying. We have no idea.
But hey, everything have a price.
Yes.
So if the price is right, it gives you the right answer.
I love that you're playing along. That's great. So it's really as serious, though, with these kids. Is this because why are we seeing this spike in nearsighted kids under the age of five? Why are we seeing that?
Well, two things. I think, unfortunately, our world is becoming more of an indoor environment, indoor culture. That's what I'm talking about. How many times that you see, you know, children now, the parents is giving them a electronic device, either iPad, iPhone, and ask them to play the game, and then instead of going out to the outdoor to play outside, everyone is now playing inside with all the electronic devices. So that's one thing. And also the other thing is, the other extreme is, like, I think the society, the community is getting so competitive. We always try to get ahead of others. And so we are asking our 5 years old to, or 4 years old even, to try to learn how to read, to learn how to recognize the alphabet, and give them books to read before the age of 4 and 5, and so that they were able to get ahead of others when they get to the school. So these are the two things, electronic devices, and then we are trying to push our kids to read earlier. Those are the two areas that I think contribute to all those nearsightedness kids coming around.
Wow. So is there anything we can do about that? Like you said, maybe better to send the kids to play outside and get away from the computers and the tablets a little bit, right?
Yeah, it's so important now that we're really ignoring the fact is all those good old activities of, you know, getting crazy outdoor, you know, playing around, you know. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I was much older than you are, okay? But when we are growing up, we do spend a lot of time, like during the summertime, we spend a lot of time outdoor doing all the crazy stuff, and then we go out in the morning, and then we go back at night for dinner. And then, you know, most of the time we spend outdoor, but now all the children are reversed. They are all spending the time indoor and instead of out. It's so important for us to spend a good portion of the children's life outdoor to kind of give them an idea, I mean, give them a good peripheral vision. And that is how the normal development of the eyes needed. If you're always looking at the screen, only using the central vision, ignoring the peripheral vision, that's where the nearsightedness kick in.
Oh, that's a good tip for everybody out there listening, too. We're speaking with Dr. Albert Pang, optometrist, Trinity Eye Care. You can go to trinityeyecare.com. So, Doc, that's the same for all of us, too, right? Then we need to maybe take breaks during the day and try to get off the screens. But, you know, you walk around, you go to lunch, you go to dinner, and you see people with their heads in their iPhones the whole time.
Yeah, that's right. And if there's any way that we can do it, you know, first of all, we look at our work environment. When we are staring at a computer, do not sit too close. We need to have a good working distance from the computer so that we have, you know, again, same thing we're talking about is the peripheral vision. So when you look at a computer, you need to have as many exposure to the periphery as possible. Do not turn off the light when you are looking at a computer, because you need to use the peripheral vision portion of the eye to stimulate the overall vision. And same thing when you're looking at the phone, don't get it too close. Hold it further out. Expose yourself to peripheral vision. I do not know whether you heard of this saying is, nearsightedness is not induced by your central portion of the eye. It's not the 20/20 portion that causes nearsightedness. It's the periphery, it's the side vision that is contribute to your nearsightedness. So try not to obscure or cover your peripheral vision. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, have a good distance so you're still exposed to your peripheral vision.
Oh, that's a good tip there, too, Doc. How about as far as people getting eye tests? Do you find, you know, I'm joking about this in the beginning, but it's true, that we all kind of drag our heels in coming to see the eye doctor. But really, once you get into that, you have to go yearly, don't you?
Yeah, I would say, you know, definitely, especially anyone that is, you know, again, Either the young or the old or the middle age need to have the eye check regularly, and a lot of pathology eye diseases start, you know, coming in at after 40. And for children, the early ages, because it's so vital for them for their learning, we always, you know, confuse by the term eyesight and vision. Eyesight is how good you can see, whether you have 20/20 vision. Vision is encompass the whole visual system, how you use both eyes together, how you're able to have depth perception, how you converge or diverge your eye. In other words, how the mechanic of the eye work together. The eyesight is only part of the picture. It's only to tell you how good you can see centrally, but they never tell you how good you're able to work two eyes as a system together. You probably heard the people say they read, they have headache, they see double vision, word kind of swim around, jump around. That is the binocular vision, because the two eyes do not work together.
Wow. Yeah, so that's what you got to pay attention to. In your years of doing this, you've seen massive changes in optometry. What is your favorite piece of equipment or the thing that's made life easier in really narrowing down what someone's problem is and how you need to adjust their eyesight?
I think, you know, with all the year go by, with all the technology, still to be honest with you, is more to do with asking the patient. I don't think the equipment will able to replace any of the intuition that the doctor and the patient have. I think a lot of time on the to answer the questions, on the contrary, we are now depending so much on devices to test the eye. Forget about the most important thing is asking the patients. Up to now, I think I get the most information by asking the parents about their children, by asking the patient himself how they feel, how they experience, and then we were able to find out what is the reason of the problem. Devices usually were not able to give me that much of information as much as the first 10 minutes, 15 minutes when I talk to the patients. Again, you know, good old, you know, the old good doctor thing is, you know, you talk to the patient, you find out a lot more thing than just depends on your stethoscope or your auto devices that you can get information from.
Yeah, so it's important then for people listening all around the country and in Texas, et cetera, that when you go, you just be as honest as you can, what you're feeling,
right,
what you see with your eyes. Is it just reading like you mentioned? Is it more than that? Or when you read the charts, that's why you tested the lenses in so many different ways,
right,
Doc? Because that's the only way you can come up with a plan.
Yeah, tell us about how you use your eyes. If you are fearful about, you know, you're losing your eyesight, tell us why you have this fear. Because a lot of time when we dig deeper, you know, we were able to find out, you know, one of the family member have this kind of condition or that kind of condition. And those conditions that run in the family tend to also run in the patient themselves. So we were able to get a lot more information by the patient really honestly tell us their fear, how they use their eye, what is the major problem that they're encountering. That really helps us a lot more than, you know, the data that we collect.
Yeah, great stuff. Dr. Albert Pang, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again, Doc.
All right, good.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.